Blog Talk Radio.
Cowards try to change our lives, change the things they despise in America. But heroes, fueled by freedom, that unalienable right to be, came to rescue the injured, rescue the innocent, rescue these truths we hold to be. Self-evident.
Afternoon to you once again. Jason Hawes coming here with some, I don't want to say technical difficulties, but some technical frustrations that unfortunately may limit kind of a combination of the technical frustrations with my computer and my own poor promotional skills that may limit the live listen of this show today, but hopefully we'll be able to get it out there, and hopefully many of you will be able to listen and choose to listen to it on the archives. And if you're out there listening live, or if you jump in live, that's fantastic as well. I do know there's been a bit more activity or a bit more likes on the Facebook page, and some more people who have followed the show and so on and so forth. But I was having some computer problems where I had to reboot just as I was trying to get everything out there, promoted, links distributed, stuff posted on Facebook groups and so forth. And at the like I said, the show promo or the show promotional feed, and it was lacking today, unfortunately. But nevertheless, I do have a lot of information to discuss and to share with you, and don't have really any amusing or unfortunate stories to share from my work experiences from this past week, like I've had the past couple of shows in the past couple of weeks. We did have our part-time driver who lives in the same city that I do. Neither one of us live where we work. It's about a 25-mile drive to work, a 25-mile commute one way for both of us. But he's a retired guy, a lifetime resident of the – or, well, I don't know if I can accurately say a lifetime resident. I believe he has lived other places. But a longtime resident of the city that we both live in, which I pretty much am a lifetime resident of. And as I found out a good while back, the stepfather of a girl I graduated high school with. But anyway, he's retired. He's our part-time driver. He decided, rather than working all week, he decided to leave us all in the dust, to leave us all behind, and travel to Hawaii for a vacation with his wife. And so I'll have to make a little bit of a mental note to get back at him or give him a hard time on that in some fashion or another. But anyway, one guy on vacation, one new guy who came in. I don't know what exactly they're going to do with him, but one new guy who started Wednesday. Other than that, a pretty mundane week compared to the previous couple weeks of drivers crashing into high school kids and birds flying into store windows and knocking themselves silly. Unfortunately, nothing that amusing or unfortunate even that happened this past week. But it is a holiday weekend, of course. It is May 28th, 2016. It's Memorial Day weekend. And certainly I want to wish all of you a happy, you and your families and friends, a happy, an early happy Memorial Day if you are listening live or if you listen before we actually get to Memorial Day. And certainly do want to take some time to encourage people as well, and even as I sit here myself, to offer my thoughts and prayers to any families out there that maybe have recently or even not all that recently, who have lost loved ones, who paid the ultimate price fighting for this country and defending all of our freedoms that we do hold so dear. Certainly a lot of appreciation for those soldiers and a lot of sympathy and heartfelt prayers and well wishes to those families who, again, may have lost, be it a brother, a son, a father, nephew, whatever the case may be, or even, you know, a female who served in some capacity that may have lost their life somewhere in this world of ours. But anyway, a happy Memorial Day to all of you. Like I said, an early happy Memorial Day. Okay, I wanted to kind of combine, I guess, a couple of different topics or what have you today. And let me start out by, because I'm going to start kind of talking about Donald Trump and then transition into some more issues, cultural and social issues after that. For those of you who have listened to the show for some time, for those of you who know me in some fashion or another, be it on social media, or even personally know me, you know that, first of all, you probably know that I was, and still am, but I was a supporter for the Republican nomination. I was a Ted Cruz supporter, simply because Ted Cruz, to me, in my lifetime, I don't think that I have ever seen or come across, and believe me, I'm the type of person that doesn't try to exaggerate, and I don't think I am going to exaggerate. Just simply, I don't think I've ever seen or come across a better example of a constitutional Christian conservative running for president in my lifetime. You know, I have a lot of respect. I have a fair amount of admiration for the job that Ronald Reagan did as president of the United States. I think in some ways, Ted Cruz, issue-wise, core principle-wise, would even outshine Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan, I was 4 years old when Ronald Reagan was first elected, So, needless to say, personally remembering and personally experiencing his presidency, that happened as far as my being alive, but really knowing much about it at the time, as it was going on, obviously not. But I was a Cruz supporter because he stood out as a consistent constitutional conservative who believed in our founding values, in our founding principles, and seemed to have and seems to have a sincere faith in God and in Jesus Christ. And at the same time, I am, much to the dismay or consternation of some, and much to the agreement of others, I am someone who still, even though he is the presumptive nominee, defines myself as being in the Never Trump movement, if you will, or the Never Trump camp, which, as I've mentioned before, on the American Faith Today Facebook page, just a couple days ago or whenever it was, you've got a lot of people saying that this Never Trump camp, this Never Trump movement is petering out, that it's dying down, that it's it never really was much of anything, and that it is going the way of the dinosaurs and the dodo birds and what have you, that it's pretty much dead, gone, and buried. And a lot of people will point to the fact that there's no viable third candidate, even though if you look at some of the links or some of the news stories out there, there's a lot of, apparently today, a lot of attention being focused on the Libertarian process to get to a Libertarian party candidate who most people, I believe, feel will be Gary Johnson. Some people are touting Austin Peterson, though, as the Libertarian Party candidate. But a lot of people say these politicians and what they call establishment types that are looking for a third candidate, it's not working out, and so thus the Never Trump movement is dead. Well, we're not going to know, and certainly it's not dead in my mind. It's not dead from my view. And with some of the people that I associate with online, certainly they are as committed to not supporting, not voting for, not rallying around Donald Trump as they ever were. You know, the Never Trump movement isn't a movement of politicians and the Eric Erickson's and the Bill Kristol's and what have you of the world who are desperately, apparently, if you listen to some, desperately trying to get a Mitt Romney or a Ben Sasse or a Tom Coburn or someone else to step in and run for president as a viable alternative to a viable conservative alternative to Donald Trump. That's not the Never Trump movement. The Never Trump camp is composed of voters. It's composed of Christians. It's composed of conservatives. And really those two being primary, I think, amongst them. But I am Never Trump because while Ted Cruz, as I said, a consistent constitutional conservative, a legitimate, I believe, faithful, God-fearing, God-loving Christian, while Ted Cruz is those things, Donald Trump, in my book, of course, is neither of those things. He's not a constitutionalist. He's not a guy who stands tall and proud and toes the line for liberty in this country, religious liberty or personal liberty or what have you. And he's not, I don't believe, and I know I'm treading on not necessarily dangerous territory, but territory that some people would want me to stay away from. He's not, in my mind, from any evidence that I can see, a faithful Christian. Now, you can say that God is working on him, that God is trying to move within him, and I hope that's the case. And it probably is the case. But certainly I see no evidence of Donald Trump being conservative, no evidence of Donald Trump being someone who even cares that much about the Constitution, and no evidence of Donald Trump being a reliable Christian and being a reliable advocate for the issues then that mean a lot certainly to me and to many of the rest of us as well, whether we are Christian, social conservative, plain old conservatives, what have you. Now, a few interesting things that have hit the news cycle. That was just a little bit of background, establishing or reestablishing that I'm very much, have been very much pro-Cruz, very much anti-Trump. And we've got some interesting stories that I'm not really going to, I'll just touch on, that have hit the news cycle over the past few days. First of all, we had Donald Trump apparently appearing on Jimmy Kimmel, I believe it was Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know if it was Kimmel or Fallon. I believe Kimmel. But basically saying it was posed to him, would you want to or would you be willing to debate Bernie Sanders? And Donald Trump saying, sure, I'll debate Bernie Sanders, and advancing the thought that if Bernie wants to debate him, he'll debate him as long as they can raise some money for charity, and in Donald Trump's words, money for women's health issues, which I don't know if that means that with this debate that allegedly would have happened because Bernie Sanders accepted. I don't know if that means that we fund Planned Parenthood from the Bernie Sanders-Donald Trump debate. I don't know. Actually, what it means is Donald Trump is pandering to a demographic that he knows he's not doing very well with, which is women. So he says, yeah, we'll do it if we can raise money for women's health issues. But anyway, he agrees to debate Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders agrees to debate Donald Trump. And then 48 hours or so later, which seems to be almost the standard within the window of a Donald Trump flip-flop or backpedal, Donald Trump decides, no, I'm not going to debate Bernie Sanders because he's probably not going to be the Democratic Party nominee, so it would be a waste of my time and so on and so forth. And, you know, again, it's so typical of Trump to backtrack, to flip-flop, make a statement, to take a position, be it a position on an issue or something that he says that he will do, and then not hold up to his word or not hold up to, again, a policy that he had advocated for. Because, of course, all of these things are mere suggestions open to negotiation on pretty much all of them. He is an unprincipled, double-minded, wishy-washy, and I'll even say cowardly individual. You know, he didn't want to debate Ted Cruz. He didn't want to, I mean, he said he would debate Bernie Sanders, and he says, no, I don't want to debate Bernie Sanders. And this is a man that, unfortunately, many people believe that they can trust implicitly when his own words and actions completely belie that thought, completely negate that thought, and should show everyone that you really can't trust him. But along those lines, or despite such things, we did find out that Marco Rubio has completely flipped his past positions himself, from saying that Donald Trump is vile and a danger and a con man, and now saying, well, I want to help out however I can. We can't have Hillary. I'll release my delegates to Donald Trump, and I'll even speak on his behalf at the convention. And Marco Rubio, by the way, has taken a fair amount of fire on this on social media, on Twitter, apparently, which I don't even have a Twitter account. Anyway, you know, basically the establishment, and I posted this on the American Faith Today Facebook page last night. You can check it out. That this whole idea that those who are never Trump have been called anything from rhinos to GOP establishment to even to traitors to what have you. And yet at the same time, you've got everyone who basically is saying, well, you have to rally around the nominee, you have to rally around the candidate, which is what the establishment tells us we have to do all the time. And many of these people were out there claiming to be against the Uniparty, which they may be, but were out there claiming to be against the Uniparty, against this whole, you know, the rhinos and the Republican backstabbers who don't live up to their word, who don't live up to their campaign promises, who get to Washington and betray the American people and betray the base. And, you know, these people will say there's no difference between the party, and yet when it comes time to vote for real, after we're pretty much done with the primary, they say, well, you know, they're right there trying to rally people around the party, around the Republican nominee, the Republican banner. As I put it, which someone pointed out in her mind was absolutely correct, as these people go out there for months and months at a time insulting the Republican Party and then running for safety and running for security under the very banner of that same party that they had insulted for all these many months. That, well, you know, we got the Republican, no matter what, is going to be better than the Democrat. But it depends on the person. And when you look at Donald Trump's record, and when you look at his policies, and when you look at his flip-flops, and when you look at him not even being consistent on anything or living up to his word, you see, obviously, you examine the man, you see a lot of progressivism, you see a lot of liberalism, you see a lot of instability, you see a lot of pandering. You see a character who is very much for himself and will do and say anything. Mark Cuban put it very well when he said that Donald Trump is the guy who walks into a bar and will say anything he has to get laid. And that's basically what he has been doing ever since he started running for the Republican Party nomination. Now, but it is very interesting that he came out in California and he insulted Ted Cruz. Well, he kind of insulted Ted Cruz. He brought up Lion Ted again, and he said, I can't call him that. And then he proceeded to say Lion Ted, who holds the Bible up real high, puts it down, and then tells lies. And he says, well, I'm retiring that. I'm not going to call him that anymore. Which, by the way, is an admission that, in my book, it's an admission that Ted Cruz was never actually guilty. He certainly could never pinpoint anything in particular that Ted Cruz lied about. And basically, that's almost his way, again, in my book, of saying that his whole strategy for branding Ted Cruz Lion Ted was nothing more than a political strategy, was nothing more than, oh my gosh, Ted Cruz might beat me, so I've got to come up with something personal to, excuse me, to attack him on, and if it's true, it's true, if it's false, it's false, but my faithful followers will no doubt believe me no matter what, so I'll just call him Lion Ted. Well, you know, if you've decided that you're not going to call him Lying Ted anymore, did Ted Cruz change his behavior in any way? Did Ted Cruz admit to telling some untruths, some lies that he's apologizing? I mean, what's changed? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed with Ted Cruz. Nothing's changed. Certainly nothing's changed so much with Donald Trump and his behavior. It was just a smear put out there to try to confuse and unsettle as many people as possible, and unfortunately it probably worked better than what it ever should have. But anyway, a piece here from the Conservative Review, you've got Donald Trump out there fascinated with Bernie Sanders voters, and there's statistics out there saying that 15% of Bernie voters will vote for Donald Trump, 20% of Bernie voters will vote for Donald Trump. Donald himself, who has a tendency to exaggerate such things, is claiming that 40% of Bernie supporters will vote for him. Again, according to People magazine, it's 20%. According to Nate Silver at 538, it is 15%. But anyway, he is reaching out to these Bernie voters, and he's doing it to try to sound as much like Bernie as possible, rather than, you know, opening the tent to expose more people and to try to win more minds over to conservatism, conservative values. He's simply trying to mimic, in some ways, Bernie Sanders. You know, he even said, and I'm trying to pinpoint, excuse me, bear with me here. I'm sorry, I had some computer problems, so I kind of lost my place a little bit. He even says here, he told MSNBC, it looks like at the end of last month, he told MSNBC, Bernie Sanders has a message that's interesting. I'm going to be taking a lot of the things Bernie said and using them. So in other words, what the socialist is saying has struck Donald Trump as being quite interesting, and he's going to mimic some of Bernie Sanders' kooky, far-left-wing, outright socialist, or as Bernie puts it, democratic socialist views, and incorporate them into his own campaign messaging. And but anyway, he's tacking to the left. As it says here, again, Conservative Review, it's a piece written by Jen Kuznicki, or Kuznicki, and as she points out, as Trump continues to tacked to the left that he is. You have Bernie, who's an avowed socialist. You have Trump and Bernie overlapping on trade. Trump, as she points out, has already pivoted on raising the minimum wage and rejected the Citizens United case. In fact, the far-left MSNBC made the point that he is wrong on everything, that being Trump, except that notorious freedom of speech case that hinged on banning speech. So, again, Trump agrees with Bernie Sanders somewhat on trade. He agrees with Bernie Sanders on Citizens United. There was an interesting, very interesting point, a very interesting piece that I first heard referenced on Glenn Beck, and that I also saw online, and that I found the article online that did not mention so much this aspect in the article. It was from foreignaffairs.com, I believe, where they compared Donald Trump to these Latin American military-style strongmen, the caudillos, like José Perón of Argentina in, I believe, the 1930s, 1940s, whenever it was, and even Hugo Chavez, but kind of this Latin American strongman machismo type. But what was mentioned there as kind of a secondary point was that one of the things that has ruined many Latin American countries, besides, again, the tendencies to eliminate liberty and to oppress people that these caudillos have, is the protectionism and the isolationism, but in particular the economic protectionism that has wrecked the economies of many Latin American countries, that Donald Trump, of course, being regarded as a huge protectionist. But anyway, he's basically trying to sound like Bernie in some ways, or identify with Bernie Sanders voters who are identifying with a socialist. He's not reaching out, as Mark Levin put it, he's not reaching out to conservative voters. He's not reaching out to Ted Cruz voters or supporters. He's not reaching out to constitutionalists. He's not really reaching out to Christians. He's reaching out to the Bernie people. This is a man who has no political compass. This is a man who has no moral compass. This is a man who is simply interested in doing whatever it takes to benefit him. And I suppose, especially as time is winding down here, I did want to touch on this because it really was quite fascinating and quite concerning and alarming as well, that Donald Trump apparently referred to how the Republican Party, a quote from him, 5-10 years from now, different party, you're going to have a workers' party, a party of people that haven't had a real wage increase in 18 years that are angry. Now, setting aside the fact that Donald Trump rather infamously said at one point that wages were too high, now saying they haven't had a real wage increase in 18 years, which is more than likely completely or mostly true, but saying that we're going to call or we're going to refer to the Republican Party as the Workers' Party, which sounds like something out of the Karl Marx, again, as this article, StridentConservative.com, it sounds like something out of the Karl Marx Communist Manifesto Redo. And again, this article written by David Leitch at StridentConservative.com, mentioning that Trump's policy ideas on wages, trade, Social Security, and other economic and non-economic issues do bear a striking resemblance to the Workers' Party, a troubling thought when you consider their strongly anti-capitalist philosophy. For instance, the Workers' Party blames capitalism for unemployment and low wages. Trump blames the U.S. economic system, calling it, quote, unjust. The Workers' Party blames private ownership of the means of production for so-called exploitation of working people. Donald Trump blames private businesses as well and has issued a plethora of protectionism policies meant to rein in, quote, unfair business and trade practices. He has also promised to punish any business that moves out of America to avoid paying higher wages and taxes with, of course, his tariffs. The Workers' Party demands a classless... I'll skip over that one. I'll have it, but it's a shot at Trump, basically calling him classless, which I'd agree with. But anyway, the Workers' Party demands the destruction of capitalism in order to bring an end to so-called class warfare. Trump has called for higher taxes on the rich, a $15 an hour minimum wage, socialized medicine, and a hands-off approach to the bankrupt Social Security and Medicare programs. No entitlement reformed. It could be argued that his policies would move America closer to a society without classes. The Workers' Party claims that capitalism depends on wars and other international crises around the world to thrive, and they demand an end to interventionist policies. Trump has made his non-interventionist policies front and center to his foreign policy. Some of the details include cuts in overall spending while simultaneously increasing military spending, pulling out of NATO, supporting Putin's work in Syria, acting as a neutral negotiator between Israel and Palestine, and has proposed closing our military bases in Europe and Asia. But anyway, interesting article, again, pointing out Donald Trump, he doesn't hold views that many of us, I thought all of us, who claim to be conservative can line up with. And he's a man out there basically just winging it. You contrast that again with Cruz, who on a show with Pat Campbell, radio host Pat Campbell, said that he would fight at the convention to defend the Republican Party platform and not remove the abortion plank or alter it, as Donald Trump himself admitted that he would like to do, to reform, to alter the Republican Party platform on abortion. Cruz saying that we have his word that he would not do anything like that, saying one of the reasons that we are continuing to work to elect conservatives to be delegates, even though Donald has the delegates to get the nomination, we intend to do everything we can to fight for conservative principles to prevent Washington forces from watering down the platform. The platform is a manifestation of what we believe as a party, and I think it is important that it continues to reflect conservative values, free market values, constitutional liberties, Judeo-Christian principles, the values that built this country, and that is exactly what I intend to fight for. And, you know, again, needless to say, just throw out there, that's who we could have chosen had we stuck to our principles as conservatives rather than getting carried away with a flaming, self-centered, ego-driven, vague cliche and slogan tosser and bloviating BS artist in Donald Trump. Getting caught up in his cult of personality and cult of celebrity, as unfortunately so many did. But anyway, on to some of the issues in the very, very few remaining minutes that I have. It's interesting, this whole thing as a Christian with, I believe, the times that we are living in, as I believe that we are in the end times, the end days, I don't want to say that I fear, but I certainly am not happy about it, but I believe that we're at a point in which, as a people, as a country, we will probably go into captivity, so to speak, to that one world system. And, I even mentioned in a group that if the country dies, the country dies. I don't want it to. But there will come a time in which everything will be melded into, moved into a one-world system, and then there will come a time in which every nation, every kingdom becomes under the ownership of Jesus Christ himself anyway. And it's much more important that we not die, spiritually speaking, than it is that the country not die, even though we don't want it to happen. But there are things that are more important. But, a lot of people point, and a lot of people point out, a lot of people use it to A lot of Trump supporters feel like that he's the answer to their prayers. A lot of Cruz supporters felt like he was the answer to their prayers. All that, I suppose, remains to be seen. I don't believe Donald Trump is the answer to anybody's prayers. But a lot of people point to 2 Chronicles 7:14, that article or that verse that gets thrown around a lot these days. And of course, basically paraphrasing, saying that if my people who are called by my name would repent and seek out my face and turn from their evil ways and their wicked acts, then I will hear their prayer and heal their land. Well, there's something very critical in that, and it is turning away from our wicked acts, from our evil ways. And unfortunately, you can pray and pray and pray as much as you want to, and you certainly should pray for this nation, for our leaders, and what have you. But God's not, my understanding as I read that, God's not necessarily going to heal the land unless we also make an effort to turn from the evil things that we've done, to turn from the, you know, the idolatry, the evil acts, whether it be abortion, you know. But as I look at some of these stories today, and again, I'm not going to have time to get to all of them, but what stands out to me is just so much a denial of truth, a denial of biblical truth, of God's law, of God's word, and a denial of objective truth, a denial of reality itself, and just so much confusion, so much deception. And again, I don't know, I'll just try to touch on some of these, because again, I don't have time to certainly to get to all of them. But and I even go back to Isaiah chapter 3, which I, in my own mind, reference, and sometimes on the show and in conversation reference as well, where God's saying basically what I consider to be in the last days, he'll give us babes and children to be our princes and our rulers. And you know, you might look at that as people who are very immature, that works, but if I remember right, that word babes actually translates to tyrants that he would allow to rule over us. Tyrants who would take our rights away, certainly take your religious liberties away if they can do so. And as a matter of fact, I'll just touch on just how ridiculously bad this is getting in some instances. At Brevard County School or School District, apparently there was this from Stephen Crowder's LouderWithCrowder.com website. A man was charged with disrupting a school function and resisting an officer without violence after he was ejected from a school board meeting dealing with LGBT issues. He was asked by the school board chairman, Andy Ziegler, to step away from the speaker's podium after making what Ziegler said were inappropriate remarks. And what he said was, he says, the reason why I'm here now is that we are not putting children's safety first. When you say that we need to use language that is appropriate and what we do in our schools should be what we have here, would it be okay now if I showed you a picture of my penis? Okay, that's gross. That's startling, but the point being, he goes on to say, because that's what happened. We have a teacher who put his phone on the big screen and showed what the students say was his erect penis. Well, after saying that, this man, Dean Paterakis, I'm probably mispronouncing the last name, but this man was drug away from the podium, drug away from the microphone before he could even finish, and he was arrested by police under what charge? You know, I don't know what they could charge him with, but he was arrested for inappropriate language, I suppose. I mean, the fascists are absolutely taking, the tyrants are absolutely taking over and taking control in too many places and in too many instances. You've got congresspeople, congresswomen, who are acting like unbelievable infants at a congressional hearing when House Representative Zoe Lofgren, they had a professor opposed to transgender bathrooms, and the congresswoman, the representative, calling this professor an ignorant bigot, and for daring to oppose these things. This professor did nothing, according to TruthRevolt.com, did nothing other than state the objective reality that biology determines an individual's sex in order to combat the Obama administration's mandate that all public schools allow transgender students to use bathrooms and showers of the opposite sex. She used an analogy saying, if I believe that I am a Russian princess, that doesn't make me a Russian princess, even if my friends and acquaintances are willing to indulge my fantasy. Nor am I a great horned owl just because, as I have been told, I happen to share some personality traits with these feathered creatures. And again, this Zoe Lofgren said that her testimony was offensive, and said, I think you're a bigot, lady. I think you're an ignorant bigot. I think you're an ignorant bigot. And thankfully, Steve King interrupted her. But that's a elected representative, supposedly elected by the people, yelling like an idiot because somebody stated biological truth and fact and was called a bigot for it. And again, there's a couple other, I'll just mention it. You got people out there, again, louderwithcrowder.com, trans species. I'll have this on the Facebook page, meet the grown men who identify as dogs. They dress up in dog suits. Most of them happen to be homosexual, but they dress up in dog suits. They act out as dogs, wear dog-like hoods, like having their stomach rubbed or ears tickled, playing with toys, eating out of bowls, and are often in a relationship with their, quote, human handlers. These are grown adults dressing up like dogs, acting like dogs. I'm sure in the depraved, confused, leftist mindset, they are dogs. And if they think they're dogs, then they're dogs. But, you know, there are, again, you're not going to clean up the nation. You're not going to restore America to greatness. You're not going to... you know how every time Israel, biblical Israel, got off track, you know how they recovered? They recovered by getting back to God. They recovered by removing the groves and the high places, by removing the idols, by destroying them. And it's not a popular thing to say, and I'm certainly not advocating for it, but just to show that it is, in fact, wrong in God's eyes, they even removed the Sodomites from out of the land. Cleaning up things in a spiritual sense, cleaning up things in a natural sense, getting back to common sense, getting back to God's ways and God's truth, and receiving his blessings once again so that their land could be healed. And, you know, again, I'm so much out of time, but I'll have these on the Facebook page. A couple of really good stories or really good people at least stepping up and standing for what's right. You got the mayor of Mississippi who was recognized for defending religious liberty. And you also had a group of high school seniors, graduating seniors here in East, not where I live, but in Ohio where I live, but in East Liverpool, Ohio. The school had a graduation tradition where they sang the Lord's Prayer for some 70 years. Freedom from Religion Foundation said, you can't do that, you can't do that. And the school said, okay, I guess we can't do that. Well, the graduating seniors decided, you know what, we are going to do it. And maybe we're not going to sing it, but we're certainly going to recite it. And at their graduation, they did begin to recite it. And valedictorian welcomed the crowd. Senior stood to their feet and started out saying, Our Father, which art in heaven. They took a stand. They stood for God. They stood for tradition. They stood for their own constitutional rights. And, you know, we need people to do that. We need people to get back to that instead of buying into false promises. And buying into personality and trusting in man. Put your trust in God. Put your trust in His Word. Understand His Word. Read it. Absorb it. Live by it. And try to prop up the principles within this.